Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, thank you for tuning into our program today. We are joined by Dr. Keith Wiebe. He's the vice president in charge of chapter development right here at the American Pastors Network. And we will also be joined by our special guest, returning guest, Pastor Joel Jakubowski, vice president in charge of community outreach and long-term recovery, the program in the Rarysburg, Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge Ministry. My name is Isaac Crockett. I'm the pastor at Hamburg Bible Church. I've titled today's program, One Nation Under Drugs. And I want to look at the many facets of the, or some of the many facets of the drug problems that we are facing as a nation, which is coming back to us the results of our addiction to these mind-altering drugs that in many cases are actually prescribed by people in our communities that are entrusted as doctors to help us with our problems. So we'll be talking with Pastor Joel in our program and learn not only about the world-class programs at Adult and Teen Challenge, but also at the biblical principles used there and the faith-based component that makes their recovery more effective than any other recovery program. But we'll also look at what we as Christians and churches can do to maybe help those around us in our families or communities who might be drowning in this problem. But before we get further into that discussion, I would first like to just get an update about some of the issues and developments and projects going on at the American Pastors Network. So I'll go to our vice president here of chapter development, Dr. Keith Wiebe. Thanks for being on with us today. Keith, could you maybe give our listeners just some quick updates on what's happening here at APN?
Thank you, Isaac. It is always a privilege to be a part of the Stand in the Gap broadcast. For those who perhaps are a little new to the organization, the American Pastors Network is a network of pastors who declare that they're willing to stand on the authority of God's Word as it applies to our culture. And that's going to be particularly applicable as we move forward with Joel later on in the program. The uniqueness of APN is that our focus is on the pastor and his pulpit. There are many other pastors' organizations, fine ones, whose focus is on getting pastors and their people involved in the political process. We certainly think that's important, but that's really downstream. We're encouraging pastors to be bold in their proclamation of biblical principles that apply to what's happening in our culture. A part of that is this radio ministry. God continues to expand that, most recently going on WAVA in the Washington, D.C. market. There's been an expansion of media participation on the part of our APN folks, interviews, editorials in print. My niche is to work with our state chapters. There's been an expansion of that ministry. We have a number of state chapters that are their own independent nonprofit organization, but a part of the APN under our broad umbrella, who are all banding together. We feel like we're better together, banding together to really encourage participation in what's going on where these principles are concerned. So it's a privilege to be a part of this broadcast and be a part of the American Pastors Network.
All right. Well, thank you for the work that you do and for get that update, letting our listeners know about what's going on. And of course, we try to stay relevant with what's going on in the news and in our culture, looking at the constitutional side of things, but also from the biblical perspective. And I just can't help but bring up what's been going on right now with the shooting at the school in Florida. And as a person, I've been involved in public schools and in Christian schools as a teacher, as a substitute, as an emotional support specialist. I've also been involved as a social worker, and I know a lot of psychiatrists and therapists, and there's so many things going on, but one of the things I know from being within that group of people is that there's a lot of talk about over-medication, about too many children being given too much medicine, psychiatric medicine, and the goal for many good providers is to see how little medicine is needed, and yet it seems like for some it's not that way, and so it's probably not surprising. A journalist wrote this week, Mike Adams wrote an article that was published in several different websites. One was naturalnews.com, in which he claims that the school violence we are seeing can be linked to the increase of psychiatric medicine more so than it can be to their access to guns. Here's a quote from his article. He said, "Nearly every mass shooting over the last 20 years has one thing in common, and it's not guns. It's actually psychiatric medications. And now, to no one's surprise, we are learning that Nicholas Cruz, the shooter who killed 17 students and staff at a Florida high school, was reportedly taking mental health medications," reports the Miami Herald. Keith, what do you think, as we look at this problem of school violence, as we look at the mind-altering drugs that we've been pumping into some of our children, some of them since they were very little? I've seen reports, and these reports are 5 years old, that as many as 6 to 12% of our students, and I think it's almost 12 to 15% of our boys, are being prescribed mind-altering drugs from a very young age. What do you think, from a biblical perspective, that we can think about this, and is there something maybe biblically we could point to help us kind of wrap our minds around what's happening in our culture today as we move away from God and into drugs?
Well, the key, Isaac, is in what you just said. We are moving away from God, moving away from the principles of God's word that really give us the foundational principles of what it takes to have a successful life, a biblical foundation that gives an individual purpose. So many folks that are involved in drugs, biblically, spiritually, are searching for purpose. The biblical foundation also of families. Often there are, not all the time, but many times there's an absence of strong family ties, and certainly, in probably most instances, an absence of a biblical foundation for the family. I think also there needs to be the biblical foundation of compassion for those who are hurting. God's people, churches, organizations like Joel is involved in, all of us need to be reaching out with compassion for those who are hurting and express to them in tangible ways the fact that God loves them and that we do as well. And then there's a need probably for the enforcement of laws about violence and guns that are already on the books. These situations always bring out discussions of gun control, but perhaps the greater challenge is to enforce laws that are already there, laws that, had they been properly enforced and procedures, had they been followed properly, might well even have avoided the terrible tragedy that took place in Florida. So I think it comes down to overall a very important fact of returning to the foundation and the principles of the Word of God.
Amen. And it's so important what you pointed out there, that we as Christians act like Christians, that we walk as children of light, as salt in this world, bringing light and salt. And for our folks, for adults, and for our young people to be showing compassion on people. And so many of these young people are confused, and parents are confused. And many of them are on these medications, and they can become suicidal or homicidal. And so we want to pray for them. We want to reach out to whoever we can, those who are hurting from this recent shooting, those who maybe are hurting from being bullied. And so there's a lot that we want to talk about and pray about for those, especially those maybe listening right now who know somebody who is struggling with drug abuse. We have a lot more coming up with Pastor Joel Jakubowski from Adult and Teen Challenge. We'll be back after this short break and talk about the drug crisis in America.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. I want to remind you that freedom of speech is not free. Courageous radio stations like this one need your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show. Talk radio is America's immune system, but it needs your support. If you're a business, it makes sense for you to advertise with this station. Here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio formats would generate. Well, why is that? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the shows that they love. If you're a business and you want to grow, advertise on this station. And if you're a listener, of course, do business with the businesses that advertise in my show and on others on this station.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, welcome back to the program. We're talking about the issues that we are facing in our country in regards to a culture that has distanced itself from God, and it seems to be trying to cope with life through drugs instead of God's word and instead of God's way. And so to help us understand this issue from a biblical point of view, I'm pleased to introduce our special guest, a returning friend of ours here, Pastor Joel Jakubowski of the Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge Recovery Center in Rarysburg, Pennsylvania. Pastor Joel, thank you so much for joining us this day. Joel, many of our listeners will probably remember some of your testimony from before when you were with us and remember some about Adult and Teen Challenge. This is the ministry that was originally started by David Wilkerson, and the book was written, The Cross and the Switchblade. We've heard, you know, from you before that you have the Detox Center, a short-term, a long-term faith-based program, and then even longer-term internship programs. But could you maybe just kind of give us a little overview again of this program and tell us the rate of recovery that is experienced if someone will go through this entire program?
Sure. Thanks, Isaac. Dr. Keith, great to be with you today. And for all the listeners, great to have this opportunity to share with you as well. As you may recall, Isaac, when we spoke last time, I'd mentioned that I'm also a graduate of the very program I now work for. I came to Teen Challenge in 2003 with about 20 years of addiction. I was a devout, argumentative atheist and had no interest in Jesus or God's word. I came because I'd read on their website that they touted a 78% success rate. And like most folks, I wanted a logical solution for this thing that ailed me, this addiction crisis. And I had been to other programs, and the success rates of those other programs were somewhere between 2 to 9% success rate. So for me, it was a very logical decision in terms of just trying to shake off the addiction issue, having no idea that really what the resolve was going to be in something greater than just tactics, procedure, and simple counsel. It was going to actually be the cohabitation and congealing and transformative power of Christ. And it was really at Teen Challenge I learned really who God was and what his word said about me, my life, the reflective mirror that it is. Completely changed my worldview, which included even my view of others and all of our placement here on this planet, and really what the goal was and the hope orientation that comes with that and a life of faith. And after a short period of time, I gave my life over to Jesus, and that's really when the lid of the addiction, that oppressive force, really began to come off of my life, and I began to really pursue God's word and then look for him as the informing source for my life. And part of that process was learning that I wanted to go back to school and learn to be a counselor and give back what God had given to me. And so I pursued that path, and it led me right back to Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge. the very program that I graduated from. For our listeners, the Pennsylvania Dalton Team Challenge is birthed out of the original Team Challenge program in 1958 by David Wilkerson. Over the last 50 years, we average about a 78% success rate. Those footnotes and all information about the program can be found at PAATC, Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge, .org. We have a detox program here. We have a short-term program. We have a long-term program that you can be in our network of programming, in our continuum of care, from detox to the end of an internship for about 3.5 years. And so we serve at our locations, which we have four of. We have our headship, which is in Rarosburg. We have a center in western Pennsylvania, a center in Philadelphia, which also has a women's facility. And we have a center in Sand Hills, North Carolina. The cumulative capacity there is about 400 residents at each at all of those centers that we can meet every year and bring them the same relief that I got. And so for more information about the program, PAATC.org.
Joe, that is a tremendous testimony on your part. That is also a great testimony of the ministry of the Adult and Teen Challenge. Obviously, you service a tremendous need that exists in Pennsylvania and across our country. Can you give us a picture of what the drug crisis in our country looks like? Do you have statistics that might show how this problem seems to be getting out of control?
Yeah, when we look at just the year range from 2000 to about the end of 2016, 2017, we lost 600,000 people to opiate deaths, overdose deaths in our nation. 600,000 people. But basically about 174 people a day die in our nation. So when you break that down to a time frame per day, about every 7.5 minutes, a person passes away in our nation. So when we think about the time we'll be having this radio show, which is roughly an hour, we'll have lost at least 8 people during this time. In Pennsylvania, my home state, we're the third highest abuser in the nation, and we lose someone about every 2 hours. More people now die from alcohol and drug overdose each year than are killed in automobile accidents. Heroin deaths alone rose 23% in the last year to 12,000, almost 13,000, slightly higher than the number of gun homicides now in our nation, according to the government data that was just recently released. Interestingly, though, the total number of gun deaths, which includes suicides and accidents, has risen itself 7% to 36,000 over the last year. And so we see this. And then if we really want to expand on that and talk about the concept without getting too deeply involved, the legalization of drugs like marijuana, recreational marijuana, Colorado had just published a 5-year report and are just discovering all kinds of tremendous negative results. We're seeing now that they're the highest state in the country for marijuana use among teens. We see in high school drug violations, 71% increase since the legalization. Suspensions have also increased in the schools to 45%. We see homeless growth rates have increased over the last 5 years in the state of Colorado. And we see a doubling in the number of drivers involved in fatal crashes who tested positive for marijuana. And so, this epidemic is bad enough in an illegal standpoint, but when we're going to increase this thing with the legalization of recreational drugs, we're going to even see a more insidious problem.
Well, Joe, if I understood you right, you said we have 600,000 deaths every year from this drug crisis and 30-some thousand...
600,000 from 2000 to 2016, 2017. In that time.
Okay, that would compare with what kind of a number from guns?
Well, it's interesting. I don't know what the total yearly percentage is, but we do see there was an increase in gun activity and gun death over the last year, 7%. So it's 36,000 a year now. So if you reduce that, 7%, you'd be a little less than that per year.
Okay, so that total would still be considerably less than the folks that are dying from drugs and some of that kind of thing. That really struck me as significant with all of the discussion that always pops up about gun control in the wake of a shooting like this in Florida, when, as I think you'll bring out a little bit later on more in the program, it's very probable and possible that drug use is more at the bottom of this than guns are.
Yeah, I think there's probably some truth to that. You know, some of the things we start to think about a little bit, I know this is something we wanted to talk about, you know, just some of the effects that drug addiction has on our nation in general. One of the keys, certainly a characteristic of drug use and addiction, is isolation, autonomy, and fear. So when we think about just the effects of isolation and being detached from simple societies like family, where our support, our nurturing, our wisdom, and our guidance is supposed to come from, we end up making a lot of autonomous decisions that front-loaded and informed by a variety of different sources. And certainly you can spin around an internet search and just about find any group that espouses any kind of perspective you want. I guarantee you could find the Purple Chickens group. And so, you know, it's out there. And so we validate a lot of our faulty thinking and we validate a lot of our false information from all these entities and outside sources that are really sourced within themselves and based in fear, conjecture, hate, oppression, and it unfortunately becomes a very informing source for our youth and even for our families. So there's certainly an interpersonal detriment that's happening, and we know that just with the breakdown of the family. There's an estimated 12% of children in this country live with a parent who's dependent on alcohol or drugs, 12% of our children. And so we're going to have a lot of informing sources that are going to absolutely drive culturally addiction.
Well, it's so sad that at a time when we should be moving away from it, we have doctors prescribing it and states illegalizing it. How important is it in this day and age, and we just have a few moments before the break, that we seek faith-based treatment for this kind of recovery, Joel?
Well, I think Dr. Keith spoke about it in the very beginning, and I really think it's a standalone conversation. Let's talk about a value system. You know, I think what has happened is we've become very autonomous in our value system. And I think inherently as people, one of the problems is that if I am the king and the lord of my value system, then I can also be the king and lord of when it's advantageous or disadvantageous to me. So in other words, if I say I'm an honest man, but that my informing source for my honesty is me and nothing greater than myself, well, when honesty doesn't serve me, it's going out the window because I'm the king and lord of it. Our value systems have to be larger than ourselves. And there was a time in our nation when we understood the informing source was the church. I mean, go to your small hometowns. I'm from a small town in New Jersey, and I'd say about every 20 feet is a church on a corner because it was the informing guidance principle and source and entity of our culture. And so the value system that we grew up and learned and were nurtured in was based on a value system set by God's word. And it was larger than ourselves, so it was non-negotiable. It was the value system that we ascribed our humanity to. Well, we've taken backwards.
And so you're right. We're going backwards instead of forwards, and we need a value system larger than ourselves. We're going to discuss more on this topic. There's so much more. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll talk about the needs of America that we have as we've become a nation under drugs instead of God. We have a lot more to discuss with Pastor Joel Jakubowski from Adult and Teen Challenge Recovery Center on Stand in the Gap today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Welcome back to our program today, Stand in the Gap today. Thank you for joining us. If you're just joining us now, I'm Isaac Crockett, and I'm joined by Dr. Keith Wiebe, the Vice President of Chapter Development for American Pastors Network. And our special guest is Pastor Joel Jakubowski of the Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge. And we are talking about a biblical approach to our nation's drug problem. I'm calling it Nation Under Drugs. And I want to thank you for joining us. I also want to remind you that if you want to listen to this program again or see additional information or listen to any of our program archives, you can share these topics or find out more on our website, standinthegapradio.com, or you can go to our mobile phone app on Android or iPhone. And you can also follow us on social media. And by following us on social media, you'll get updates and the latest information. We're on Facebook, Twitter. We have a YouTube channel with lots of good videos to look at. And when you follow our social media, it makes it really easy to share information that you hear with friends or family members And maybe even you have younger friends or younger family members, that that would be a good way to interact with them. And then I also want to ask you to help us. We need your help. First of all, we need you to pray for us, especially with the many opportunities that God has brought our way. But we'd also like you to advertise by word of mouth advertising, telling people about the radio station that you're listening to that carries this, or about how they could access it online. And we would also be very grateful if any of you would, the Lord would lay it on your heart to support us financially. Well, we've been talking with our friend, Pastor Joel Jakubowski from Adult and Teen Challenge, about the subject of drugs and recovery, very fitting subject since he himself got saved there at that program and recovered from his drug addictions. Through that, saw that there was a 78% recovery success rate with them, the highest ever, because it's a faith-based program that teaches discipline and God's word and God's laws. And so a very good person for us to talk to about this. Now, lately, President Trump and his administration have been addressing the drug crisis that we have in our nation, but I don't think this is anything new. My whole life, presidents have been promising to do everything possible to address this issue. In fact, even a few months ago, our American Pastors Network president, Sam Rohr, and myself, we were very glad to hear from our Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. We met with him and about eight other pastors to discuss things. This was one of the things we discussed, and it was interesting to hear from him that he recognized that this crisis is something bigger than what the government by itself can fix. He was looking for ways to work within our communities and with our churches and faith communities to help with this problem. So, Pastor Joel, let's start with this idea of what the government's role is in helping with this problem. Are there ways that the government can or should be cracking down on drugs and drug dealers? And is it possible to crack down maybe more on doctors who, in some cases, are the drug dealers prescribing addictive drugs as medicine?
Yeah, certainly great questions, and certainly becoming table talk for the government, probably more so now than ever. You know as well as I do that as a nation, as a people, we become more active, more commonly retroactively to issues than proactively. And so now that we have the crisis, it's engendering a tremendous response. So in terms of dealers, absolutely, across the nation, state and federal agencies are now teaming up regularly with local law enforcement agencies throughout the nation to arrest dealers. Keep in mind, much of these dealers, though, are sourced from outside entities through drug cartels. And a drug cartel is just really an insidious, formidable opponent that's driven by the lust for wealth and power. And because of this, they have eager replacements for each fallen member who also share that lust for wealth and power, many of them coming out of poverty states into enormous places of change through wealth and power. So it's a fight that's very difficult. Keep in mind also is what we're doing in this nation is that some of the charges are beginning to become catered more towards how we view the offense. So in some cases, dealers are actually being charged with homicide or at least manslaughter offenses. And so we're seeing that the cost, the penalty, the consequence for dealing has definitely increased, and naturally that's in hopes to thwart the decision to sell these drugs. The problem also there, though, is that a lot of these individuals, dealers, and then as we talk about doctors, many of them themselves are addicted. So they're also driven to do these things by the addiction. So we talk about doctors. One of the things that we're doing governmentally that's now a federal nationwide program is called the Prescription Drug Monitoring Program. What that basically means is when you pull up at the Rite Aid drive-thru and you hand me a prescription as your pharmacist for an opioid medicine or an opiate-based medicine such as oxycodone or OxyContin, I look you up in our database. Now we have a reciprocating database throughout the nation. So what I'll see immediately is that if you have spent the last month fulfilling this prescription, and it's certainly not timely according to the dosage or the prescription rate, then I can be alerted to that, and I can have an opportunity in that moment to deny you those prescriptions. It's working actually quite well. It's something we should have been doing for a very long time. But obviously, again, as I said, we tend to be more reactive. The other thing that needed to happen that is finally happening to some degree is we're mandating that opioid prescribers receive courses for addictions and understand addictions, understand the effect that opioids and opiates and drugs and alcohol have on the user, specifically by prescription meds. And so now that's becoming offered throughout the state, in some cases mandatorily, for healthcare providers. And so this is something that's increased rapidly. If you're not aware, in our nation, there are very few schools of medicine that actually carry an addictions track. I know of only one in Pennsylvania right now that even offers it as part of their regular program, even before this opioid epidemic. And so that's pretty alarming when you think about that these prescribing doctors have had very little to no education about addiction. So these are some things that the government is doing, and I think they're good things. You know, this issue is a tough thing to combat from any one side of the table. So we're talking about it from maybe from a legal perspective on the dealer's end of it, and we're trying to look at it from a professional perspective in terms of the prescribers. And so I think there's some good work being done. I think there's a lot more work.
That's good insight, Joel, and it encourages me to hear that there are things government can do. And yet, going back to something that Isaac said a minute ago, every president has promised to fix the problem, and it still exists. Is this a lack of funding? Is it corruption, or is this perhaps a deeper problem that can't be, quote, fixed just by programs and initiatives?
Well, you know, you make a good point, because I think we could say that it certainly has a material problem and probably a core root human problem. The corruption issue is definitely, you know, we've seen a lot of news reports lately about drug manufacturers. You might want to call it Big Pharma. Big Pharma has a lot of people in their pocket and a lot of policymakers and a lot of lobbyists because those organizations have created entire lifestyles, their employees and their members, around the wealth that it imputes. And so, as you well know, the fight against money is a much more vulnerable source than the fight against drugs. And so what you have there is a war against people's livelihood, and that's going to be a tireless pursuit. The other issue, and I know that we certainly know this from our perspective, but human beings have always sought means to alter their consciousness. This part of humanity will never cease. What we are finding is that these particular current choices for altered states create not only a temporal feeling of pleasure, but ensnare the user and literally take mastery over them. So we have a combination of things that are happening for the person impaired through addiction. You have spiritual oppression, you have emotional bankruptcy, and you also have neurobiological impairment. You have a complete holistic rewiring of that human being. But as you guys know, and as I'm sure many of our listeners would agree, at its core, it's a heart condition. It's an unfulfillment issue, and subsequently becomes an issue of worship. Humans have two choices of what they're going to worship. We can either worship things or God. Things produce fleeting feelings of happiness at best, while God produces an everlasting knowing, not a feeling, of joy, and joy surpasses the circumstantial nature of happiness. And knowing is always greater than feeling. We also understand that original sin has opened the door to all kinds of affliction and disease in humanity. And diseases without treatment or afflictions without treatment or intervention historically take mastery of the individual. So we certainly have a political issue. We have a monetary issue. We have a human issue. It's a real force to reckon with. It's an equal opportunity affliction. It affects everyone because it affects human beings, and the part of human beings that it affects is the core of who they are. It's their mind. We certainly understand the concept of battlefield of the mind. So if something comes in and impairs from a spiritual, emotional, soul perspective of the mind, then whatever that person touches is going to then inherently be affected by that. We'll come, you know, as a man thinks, so he is, says the word of God. But we have this incredible insidious affliction right now, addiction, and it affects the mind. This is the place in which we transfer all data upward and outward from God, down and out, and then in and up back to God through that filter, through that mechanism, through the brain. And so when this becomes corrupted, it's going to not only break down the lines of communication for spiritual forces, sources, and informing sources of God, it's also going to break down everything that has quality information here on earth that God's put in place. And it puts us in a position of being very autonomous and isolated. And so, you know, again, we're just up against a very deep-seated issue that happens outside of ourselves as well as happening inside of ourselves. But we know there's hope in Christ, and that's the point of this program. That's the point of what we do at Teen Challenge, is we believe that there is a remedy, and we believe that individuals can be free from the compulsion to use drugs and alcohol, even if it has to happen one person at a time, regardless of what the government is or is not able to do. We as individuals can make choices that render those changes. We just need to find the right informing sources.
Amen. We need to turn back to the truth of God's word. And what a powerful explanation you've given us of so many things, factors going on that ultimately affect our heart and our souls. And so a biblical worldview of God's redemptive plan will make all the difference in the world when it comes to this topic of America's drug abuse. When we come back, we will talk with Pastor Joel about our opportunities as Christians to reach people and folks that you might know who need help. Maybe you're a person right now listening who needs help. Keep the radio station on. We'll be right back to finish up with some solutions to these issues.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. We've all heard the phrase, prayer changes things. But do you really believe it? The Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. James says, the effectual prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another Stand in the Gap Minute. As a pastors network, we place great value on prayer because God does. Prayer's a command, it's worship, and it's also a privilege. Ever wonder why we don't see more answers to prayer and why more people don't pray when most Christians at least know in their head that prayer's important? Are there reasons God seems not to be answering our prayers? For the next 4 weeks, I'll identify four primary reasons why God says He will not answer some prayers. Could I invite you to stand with us in prayer for our nation and our families this year and together see what God can do? Join with us by adding your name to our email prayer list at standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back to our program. We've been talking about the issues surrounding our national drug crisis, and there are so many issues and so many things at stake going on. But ultimately, we heard last segment that it goes back to a soul-searching thing. It's a heart issue. And so we want to finish up this program today by looking at some solutions, biblical ways that we can help each other and find help for this crisis going on in our nation. So Pastor Joel Jakubowski, if someone listening knows a family member or a friend struggling with drugs or maybe suspects they might be, what advice would you have for that person? And could you also give us the contact information again, your website and any other information for the Pennsylvania or just at large, the Adult and Teen Challenge Ministry? And you guys have been so effective with this recovery, faith-based recovery program.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say for anyone listening that's struggling right now, one, I think it's important to know that you're not alone. We're seeing anywhere from 2 out of 4 to 3 out of 4 families each year seem to be struggling or know someone who they love who is struggling from drugs and alcohol. And so the problem with drugs and alcohol and addiction in general is that it's so behavioral in nature. So what ends up happening is that we falsely believe as family members and loved ones that it's completely conducive to bad child rearing. And we have to really be careful with that. Each one of us can have difficulties in the upbringing of our children that are no exception to anyone else. If child rearing required perfect parenting, well, then all of our children will be addicted because there's none of us that are out there doing perfect parenting. And so we have to start looking at is what is the true affliction that is happening in this individual? And it's a variety of things. Like we said, it's spiritual, it's emotional, it's even neurobiological. And so it's affecting loved ones. So what it requires is us to seek professional guidance, education, and support. In some cases, families may need to even seek out intervention services to bring in professionals that know how to professionally motivate an individual to seek help. fear is the thing that keeps us bound in these situations. You know, the Bible tells us 365 times, do not fear. It's a pill a day to keep the devil away, I guess you could say. And so, you know, the idea is to really be no longer bound in operating out of, an innocent sense of ignorance, which is a lack of education, or making decisions out of fear. Nothing good can come from that. So seek help, seek support, seek education.
And again, could you give us the website and any other information that people could write down?
Absolutely. So our admissions number directly can be obtained right off the website, and all information about the program. And so our website, again, is paatc.org, and our admissions phone number directly is 844-888-8085.
All right. 844-888-8085. Was that the number?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And so if you need more information about that, the folks there at Adult and Teen Challenge have been doing this for decades. And again, God blesses the way they use biblical standards and biblical disciplines in all generations. God's word still returns to us for everything. And so we see that their success rate is higher than most recovery centers because they are turning to the word of God. And so that's the place that we want to turn for all of our issues and for all of our problems that we face. And so turning to the word of God, I want to ask Keith, you've been a pastor for longer than I've been alive. I was finding out as we were talking today before the program. But could you maybe, you've seen these things over the different generations. You've seen the entitlement mentality that has taken over our country as we've become less given to the Lord and we've taken ourselves away from God. And again, we see this addiction to things increasing because of that. Could you maybe share maybe a relevant passage from Scripture or just some biblical philosophy with our listeners that we can take away to help us personally in our families, in our communities, in our churches, and to help us as we pray for our nation and the addictions and abuses that are getting out of control? And then after that, could you close our program in prayer, asking for the Lord to work and to empower us, our churches, our Christians, and our communities to see evil overcome with good and with the light of God's gospel?
Joel, one of the things you said just a minute ago that resonated with me and that I really appreciated was when you assured people that are smitten by these addictions and caught in these traps, you assured them that they are not alone. And I'm sure that they feel that they are, that they're the only ones, they're isolated. You used that word a few moments ago as well. And so I think partly we must, as the family of God and as churches, reach out to them with the love of Christ. And I was reminded of the wonderful comforting verse in the fifth chapter of 1 Peter, chapter 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So I would encourage all of us to turn to God's word, turn to God, turn to treatment centers like the one that Joel works with there in Pennsylvania and similar ones across the nation. It has been proven, and the government even understands this, that the rate of success on the part of faith-based ministries is far greater than any government program, but they don't dare endorse that because then they have to endorse God as a part of the solution, and they are so humanistic that they are just driven to find some kind of a solution in man himself. And as we've seen throughout this program today, the solution simply does not lie there. So I really thank you, Joel, for shedding light on this. I know in the community where I live, a relatively small community, but we have had an epidemic of opiate deaths, crises in this, just the last couple of years, and many community agencies, including churches and faith-based agencies, have actually banded together in something of a consortium to try to find a solution to this and reach out to folks. We had in our own church some folks from a local faith-based agency that, because of the help they got from the Word of God and from God's principles, were able to stand and give testimony that God had given them the victory in their life. So we can say to those who are caught in its trap, there is hope for you. We can say to those who have loved ones who have been caught in this trap as well, there is hope for your loved ones. You can reach to God for your help. You can reach to them as well and assure them of God's help. It would be so appropriate, I think, for us to go to the throne of grace and pray as we close this program, ask for God's help and blessing on all of us as we respond to what is a horrendous crisis across our entire nation. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our almighty God, a God of help, a God of strength. We thank you for Joel, for his ministry. We pray for your blessing upon them. Grant that all of us, Father, during these times of need, may turn to you. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Wiebe, for that prayer and for being on with us. Thank you, Pastor Joel, for being with us today and giving us so much good information on this topic. And as we go to our daily lives now to go and turn ourselves over to the Lord, please remember tomorrow we have another program, exciting and informative program right here coming up in 23 hours. Please pray for all of our ministries at the American Pastors Network. We appreciate you listening, and we ask you to make the decision to stand up in the gap for the Lord today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.